morning.
Good morning.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Well, let's just lift up our hands for a moment and thank you, Father. Father, we glorify you, we love you, we magnify you. You're worthy of all praise and glory. Thank you for loving us so much. Father, we magnify you. This morning we glorify you. Your name is above every name. Thank you for believing in us. Jesus, thank you for making it possible for your Father to be our Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. Isn't God good? That's what you're supposed to say all the time. Well, it's good to be home. I've been gone for a couple weeks and had an opportunity to go to Brazil and just to see the hunger of people. You know, people who are hungry are different than people who just want to stay the same. And most of the church world likes to stay the same. Most of the church world at this time has been seduced by religion, which really allows you to live how you want. You know, seek God without your cross is really a good definition. You know, serve God without facing your cross. You know, and it's there's things that we go through in America that Brazil's not going through yet when it comes to doctrine yet, but it's coming, you know. And most people like to stay the same. And you can feel that as a preacher, as a minister, and you'll feel it with people who are your friends. You know, do you ever... Yeah, I remember I went out for coffee one time with a group of guys, and one guy in particular, and we spent an hour and a half talking while we had coffee. And at the end of that hour and a half, I left unsatisfied. And I thought, I just spent an hour and a half with this guy, and we didn't connect. There was no connection. It was like we just talked. It was like, let's see how we can waste an hour and a half. You know? Because in my mind, unless there's a connection, or I add to you, or you add to me, or we grow together, then I'm not interested in just wasting an hour and a half of my time, you know, talking about anything. And I don't know if that's my personality or what, but I believe it's mostly because when you start getting hungry for God, hungry in the sense, not just for knowledge, because you can get hungry for knowledge so you can use knowledge to beat people up with it. Just like you can get hungry for the power of God so people will look up to you. Just like you can get hungry for preaching or your calling so that you can find value in yourself if you're insecure, you know. But when you're hungry for God, it's a step of submitting to Him, of trusting Him, of obeying Him, of laying your life down for Him. And religion, remember the good definition I like of religion is where you can do what you want, or you get to keep your will, your flesh's will alive, and serve God at the same time. And that's really the cross. The cross is letting go of the will of your flesh. You're responsible to do that. And it's every day. And religion has that power. It seduces us. It seduces your flesh. Your flesh understands religion. It agrees with religion. It makes sense. Religion makes sense to your flesh, because it allows it to live and thrive in the presence of God. It's an Old Testament way of serving God, because in the Old Testament, they weren't born again. So your flesh understands religion. It loves religion because it doesn't have to die in religion. And so when you're hungry for God, it means that you're not just hungry for knowledge. You're not hungry for being used of God. You're not hungry for just the miracles. You're hungry for Him. God, what do you want for my life? You know, it's easy. I guess I'm going to have to preach today. It's so simple to say, one day, God, you're going to use me. One day, I'll walk in power. One day, all this stuff will happen for me. You're going to give me all these things. Because that means today, I don't have to worry about it. You know, when that day comes, then I'll deal with my pride. I'll deal with my insecurities. I'll have those all conquered. But today's the day to take up your cross. You know, you don't get to choose what cross you take up. You don't get to choose what, you know, a man will tell his wife and his kids, hey, I can't be here today for this month because I have to go serve God. And I have to hate you, wifey. So you take care of the house responsibilities, and I am going to go do something purposeful, something good for the gospel, and I'm serving God. But when you select how you serve God, then you're really just feeding yourself. A lot of men, and I went through a season earlier on in my life where I was, I don't want to say bitter, but my family was inconvenient for serving the gospel. And I created my family. You know, I married a woman. And you know, if you're a single guy and you want to lie with a woman, lay with a woman, you know, which usually that happens, you desire that, it's going to cost you. You know, you got to put a ring on her finger. You got to, you know, the wedding is all about the girl. Has nothing to do with us guys. And girls, if you think it does, you know, you might be marrying the wrong guy. Because most guys, I don't want to say that, some guys like to really input into their, you know, their wedding day. But for me, anyway, I could care less about the wedding day. It was inconvenient for me. I had to stop everything. I had to go get dressed into a suit I did not like. And I remember when my wife got us the little flowers to put on, you know, whatever they're called. It was like this big. And I remember making fun the whole time. You know, it's like, got to put my flower on, you know. And, you know, the girl at age 12, they've already got their wedding planned out, you know. And they just got to insert the guy. They already had the wedding planned out. You know, it's inconvenient getting married. You got to go and you got to humble yourself. You got to get on your knee. And you know, for me, I'd rather just, I found my wife. God gave me the wife that I wanted, the beautiful wife, and loved God. You know, I remember watching Christy when we were dating, and I was still fumbling around. Is she the one? Who's the one? I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to. If I pick this one, what if a better one comes along? You know, when you're a young guy, you think stupid things. And I remember my pastor told me, he said, Alan, if you don't marry this girl, you're an idiot. And I needed that little fathering just to give me that little kick through my insecurity, you know. But I remember watching her when there was one particular person who attacked her a lot, which you wonder why, but it was just jealousy. And I watched Christy forgive this woman over and over and love on her. And that's what I thought, this is a girl who I can really respect and love, you know. And but you gotta get on your knee and propose. You got to find money for that ring, and you can't be cheap about it. You know, I remember when they told you, well, you know, you need to spend, I think, about 3 months' salary for your ring. You know, it's like, what? She should. I went to one lady. She was the lady who over, and beautiful woman of God, and she was a tough German lady. You never saw her not looking beautiful. Always dressed, always done, beautiful woman, but tough. Like, you didn't mess with her because she would let you have it. And I said, you know, when I get married, I want a woman that's not high maintenance. You know, and she said, well, what does that mean? You know, it's like, well, you know, she said, if you want them to look good, you want them to be happy, you're going to have to put some effort into this, you know. And I'd rather just get married and, you know, just say, you're the one, let's get married, and then tomorrow we're married. Let's go. I didn't need to do all the ceremony, walking down the aisle. You know, that was for the girl. And I remember our honeymoon was what I was excited about. And I was like, my family flew in from Canada. We had a beautiful wedding, and the reception was going on. And as soon as I could split, I was out of there. I left my family, said, I'll see you sometime in next year. Bye. You know. But you can start being resentful to your family. Like, you're a burden to me. You know, I'm supposed to be chasing God and changing the world, and I got this woman tagging along. And see, when you start having kids, now I've got someone I created that I didn't have to create. You know, I didn't have to get married. I didn't have to create children. But I did. And so now I'm responsible for them. And you can resent that responsibility. Like, you're slowing me down. The world's waiting for me. And what I've learned about God is God doesn't take me away from my responsibilities. He helps me inside of my responsibilities to do what He's called me to do. You know, there's a part of even authority that we want to use spiritual reasons to justify being rebellious, to justify being independent. And it's dangerous being independent. Is it true that all God needs is one person? That is true. If you're the only person who really seeks God and prays and pursues God, He doesn't need 1,000 people. He just needs one to be able to birth and bring in revival. That is true. Is it His will? Absolutely not. Because He is wanting a body which has many parts and many places. And so you could use spiritual reasons to isolate yourself and say, I don't need anybody. I don't need anyone's advice. I don't want anyone's opinions, just me and the Holy Spirit. He's my teacher, my God. I don't need you. I don't want you. You know, some people go as far as saying, you know, the Word of God. You know, back in Jesus' or in Paul's day, they didn't have the 66 books of the Bible. And so I don't even really need the Word of God to guide me or teach me because I have the Holy Spirit. And see, that's an independent, arrogant type attitude that says, I don't need to listen to what Paul went through and Paul's advice. I don't need to listen to James's advice or what he received, but I need to do it all on my own. Can you do it all on your own? If you had to, you could. If you're in some country where there's no one else and you find God and the Holy Spirit, you can make it on your own. But truth is, God doesn't want you to make it on your own. God wants us to hold on and learn from each other. And even under an authority where you give someone authority in your life to hold you back, a lot of people don't want that. And they use spiritual reasons to say, I don't need to be under authority. As soon as you don't get what you want, you use spiritual reasons to say, oh, hallelujah, I don't need to listen to a man. And I'm not really speaking here so much as maybe someone who finds this message and they're in a church that doesn't agree or doesn't have a different vision than they do. And so the first thing they do is I'm disconnecting from every authority in my life so that I can just be me and the Holy Spirit. Thinking that that's the answer. I'm disconnecting from all my responsibility, from all of my authority in my life so that I can get the Holy Spirit. Not knowing that God knows where you are when you found Him. And He knows exactly how to walk you through things. And you don't need to disconnect from authority so you can hear God. What you need to do is pray and seek God and then listen. And if God doesn't agree, if the authority above you doesn't agree. Because there's times you can be right in knowledge and wrong with everything else. And hungering for God does not allow you to be right only in knowledge, to be correct only in power. When you're hungry for God, He walks you through every part of your life. That cross is a laying your life down every day where you don't get to do what you want. Just because I have, look, I'm a pastor. I'm going to tell you now why I'm not going to submit in this church. Because you got Romans 8 all wrong. And I have it all right. And I know now that I know more than you. Because I know more than you, I can't receive from you anymore. And what you're going to miss out on is maybe, just maybe. Oh, I don't mean to be preaching, but I guess I am. Maybe God has you within the authority you're at. Because there's something in that person that you need in you. And it may not be knowledge. There may be a strength in them. I remember when I first went to Tennessee, I was very, very intimidated by strong men. And it had to do with my upbringing, it had to do with my stepfather and different things. You know, I can't analyze it, all of it, but I can understand how whenever somebody was strong, I did that. I backed away. Every time. And what did God do for me? He stuck me in the middle of three of the strongest personalities you ever met. And there was times I was like a pinball with my emotions. And what He wanted me to do was not to run from that fight, but to stay where He put me and stand in there. Because there's something He wanted to change in me that I had to let Him and agree with it. So when you find yourself in a place, I'm in a marriage I don't like. My wife is not serving God with me. You'd be amazed how many people, preachers I run into, whose spouse does not agree with the way they want to serve God. My pastor, the church I'm in, doesn't agree with where I'm going. My workplace doesn't see who I am. You know, one of the things I've learned in life is don't think you're too smart. Because if you think you're too smart, you're going to make decisions thinking you're right. We don't make decisions by opportunity or out of frustrations, do we? It's by hearing what He wants me to do. How did I get on all this? So when you're hungry for God, there's one ingredient that you cannot have. Otherwise, you're really not hungry for God. If you're missing this ingredient, you're really not hungry for God. You may be hungry for knowledge. You may be hungry for power. You may be hungry for position. You know, you may be hungry for finance. Some people want money. They're called to money. And the only reason they want money is so they could be the big man that says, hey, I'm going to pay for your ministry. There you go. And for them, it's not about how much they give. It's about the approval they get. Some guys who prophesy, people who prophesy, you know, it's the whole motivation behind it is insecurity. I need to show you that I can hear God so that you will know that I hear God. And these are things that I have walked through, and I'm sure all of you have walked through, of getting past ourselves. But God works within where you're at. When you're hungry for Him, see, some people think they have a right to choose. Oh boy. Let's just go to a scripture and let's just teach real nice. They actually think you have a right to choose. I can preach harder, but I don't know if I need to. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. Some people believe they have a right to choose. That I have a right to choose. You know, when there's authority in your life, It means that someone is in your life that you have given power to or have found yourself under their authority. You start off with a parent. You know, my son, he's fought us every day of his life. And he's a wonderful kid, Harrison, you know who he is. And I don't want to break that from him. And I remember how frustrated Christy was when he was a baby, and because she was, you know, she was raised with a sister. And her dad passed away when she was young, so she was her mom and her sister. All women. And now he's got this little boy. When you're first thinking you're going to have kids, you think, oh, it's going to be so sweet. They're going to just love you. Look at them. You think they're a doll, you know, but then you have them and you realize this ain't no doll. This thing needs food and cleanup, all maintenance all the time. And Harrison, since he was a baby, fought every day, changing his diaper, putting his clothes on. Every day he's fought us. There's like always a fight for anything. Let's go eat. I don't want to eat. You're going to eat. I don't want to eat that. Well, you're going to eat that or else, you know. And I remember her being frustrated, like, wow, what do I do? Because we're bad parents. We're not fixing him. You know, I said, look, he's a boy and he's a strong-willed boy. Our job is not to break him and make him be a sweet kid, you know, like a sweet kid that just does what you want all the time. Our job is to prove to him that every time you pick a fight with authority, you're going to lose. No matter how long you want to fight, you're going to lose. And so he's learning that. And see, you're always, because when he gets older, he's going to have authority in his life. His boss is going to be an authority. And the policeman will be authority. You know, the old saying, if you don't get your kid to understand authority, the policeman will do it for you. You know, later on, you know, there's always going to be an authority. And ultimately, there will be one authority that I want him to learn to submit to, and that will be God's authority. That you learn in life how to submit to authority. And so when you look at an authority, someone in your life that God has put there, or you found yourself in, okay, it could be a marriage. A marriage is an authority in your life. I married this woman. I can't just abandon her and my kids. Say, we're supposed to be changing the world, and you got me here having to... You want money for what? For food? I'm serious. I remember when I was going, we'd go out to eat. We go out to the restaurant, and you know, my wife doesn't eat much. You know, before she was pregnant, she'd order, I'd order. I'd eat my food and half of her food. And then after she was pregnant, when she was pregnant, she ate all her food, and I was starting to not have enough. But we go out to eat, and I notice that, you know, so I'm going to take you out somewhere nice. And then I start getting resentful. Like, wait a minute, you just ordered a $6 salad bar. And we're having steak and shrimp. Why do you need the salad bar? You're just going to get a little tiny baby salad with a tomato and a little onion. And that's $6. That's not even 20 cents for them. And I wouldn't say anything, but I'd be resentful. And I'd watch how much steak she would maybe leave over. And I'd be like, woman, don't you see? You know, and I started to get resentful every time. Then I'd invite people out to eat. Come on, let's go eat. I'll buy. And then I'd watch. When you order, can't you have water? You know, and I was getting so poverty thinking. Even with my wife, I'd be like, what we'll do, we'll share an appetizer. Because you go to some places, they give free salad. So we'll share the appetizer. I'll eat salad with you. And then we're good. Free breadsticks. We're awesome, you know. And I remember I went out to eat with a pastor one time. And he took us out. He said, we're going to eat good. He said, now you need to order this steak. This is the most expensive steak. It's the best one. And he'd tell me what to order. And that freed me up. It's like I needed to quit thinking like that, you know, poverty thinking. Poverty thinking means that you're worried that God won't provide. So you make a decision on that. And so you start resenting. My family needs my time. My family needs... So I can't serve God within the authority that I am in right now. How wherever you find yourself, and I'm not just preaching to the people here, but whatever you find yourself when you start following God, maybe it's your job. Maybe it's the pressure of the finance situation you're in. I got this much debt. You know, the bank is a great authority in your life when you owe them money. You know, now I used to have faith. I can buy this and that. Now I use all my faith on my credit card that I got no more space. And so now I got to pay this. And then they jack up the interest rate on you. Me and Christy, we got pregnant with Harrison. We didn't have insurance. God had told me not to preach and not make any money. And we found ourselves in debt, credit card debt, just trying to survive. And then they jacked up our interest rate. And I remember just like, oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I do? Hallelujah. And then on TV, you're watching TV, and all of a sudden they say, we will deal with your credit card for you. Are you in debt above this? It's like, me. And just call 1-800, and we will take care of it for you. And I was so tempted to find my own solution. And I remember having to calm myself down and listen to God. And you know that God took us, it took us 2 years of being faithful. And he got us out of debt. And see, you find yourself under, you'll always find yourself under some type of an authority. And when you think that I have to remove myself from authority so I can serve God, that is you being arrogant to take control of your life using spiritual reasons to justify doing what you really want. But God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to seek after you. One guy told me, he said, I have an opportunity to make a bunch of money. And it's going to work because when I get my money, then I can pray more. It's going to pay for me so I can pray more. And then when I preach, I don't have to ask for offerings. And I said, stop right there. I've heard that lots of times and it never works. Because what you're saying is you figured out a way to fix things rather than God told me to do it. That's what I need to hear. God told me to do it. Well, I don't know if God told me to do it. Then don't do it. Because when you have the arrogance, I'm using the word arrogance, because it means self-ability. When you have that self-ability to make decisions, it's called pride. I'm taking the reins of my life and I'm using good old-fashioned scriptural reasons, good old spiritual reasons to remove myself from authority. See, the only one who has a right to remove you from authority should be God. That's the only one. And until he does, you need to live with where you find yourself. Are you in debt? Are you in a church that you don't necessarily agree with? Are you in a marriage? Do you have children? Don't remove yourself from those responsibilities. You can pray and seek God within those responsibilities. And what I found when I did it, because when I first started hearing the prayer message, I had a ton of work on my shoulders and responsibilities that took up vast amount of my time. And I remember the first time I started to pray, I got going, then I fell out. And I made up my mind, okay, from now on, I'm getting up at 5 in the morning and I'm going to pray. The first day, I said, okay, starting Monday, that's when I'm going to do it. And I meant it though this time because I'd already fallen out. Sunday night, I got a phone call and I was taking care of business until 2 in the morning. And I thought, I can do this. So I got up at 5 and did it. And the next Monday night, I got a phone call. I was up till 2, 3 in the morning taking care of business. It's like the devil knew and was going to test me. And what was I going to do? Was I going to abandon my responsibility that I had committed to, what I felt God had committed me to, so that I can get up? No, I knew I can do it. I can do this. I can pray and take care of my business. And as I did, God gave me more time to pray. And I found that he started to release me from responsibilities. Not to care. Because some people misunderstand lack of care for lack of responsibility. Like, I don't care. I don't care. You know? My son needs to play with me because kids need time. son, I don't care. No, God has to be the one. So when he tells you, okay, I need you to step aside for a little bit, then he's the one telling you to. But there's an arrogance, a pride that gives you the right to say, I'm giving up on responsibility. I'm disconnecting from authority because I don't agree with him. Well, maybe God didn't have you there to learn knowledge. Maybe he had you there so you can learn submission. Oh, excuse me. So you can learn that even when you don't like it, you'll still show up. Because you know when it comes to serving God, it's not butterflies and rose petals and multi-million dollar houses and fat wallets. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes everything in your flesh fights you every step of the way. Authority. Let God lead you around it and through it. Don't be afraid of it. Some people will say, well, the authority that's in my life doesn't like me. They're holding me back from my calling. I don't know what to say about that, but or you just haven't been through, you haven't been tested enough. If you believe that, you have not been tested enough. You're immature. Can I say it any clearer? That's amateur, immature. It is. It means you haven't trusted God enough to let him prove to you that no man could stop him from giving you what he wants to give you. You look at man as your source. I remember when I was complaining one time about all the work I was doing and all the glory I was not getting. And all the money I was not getting. Other people were getting the glory and the money, and I was doing all the work. And I was complaining to God, God, this ain't fair. This should be like this. This should be like that. And God said, you have a problem. I said, no. You misunderstood. I'm complaining about other people. And he said, no, you have a problem. You are looking to man. He said, don't you see that I see everything you do? I am the one who promotes you. There's only one person allowed, if I can say the word person, allowed to promote you. And that's him. That's it. He's the only promoter. No man can give you, open your door for your calling. Only God can. I hear preachers all the time use... I'm just slowing down to make sure I'm not... Alan's not taking over here. I use preachers all the time. Not just preachers, but believers. Use circumstances to justify things in their life. Like, this man came up to me out of the blue and offered me to come preach, and that's an open door. God opened the door for me. Well, not necessarily. That could be a man opening the door for you. And if you haven't spent time not chasing, when you have the arrogance to do what you want, then you will justify things you like and resist things you don't like. It's convenient how people hear God to do things they like, but to do things they don't like, God never tells them to do it. Amazing. What a prophet you are. But when you understand how God works, you understand there's nothing that could stop him from blessing you. No man, no circumstance. Doesn't matter if you got 1,000 tons of money that you owe everyone and their dog. Because of your mistakes, when you start following God, he'll help you walk through that. And most of the time, it won't be through 1-800-BANKRUPTCY. It'll be through, let's walk you out of this mess. You're looking at your wife and you're going, this woman is stopping me from serving God. God, I need to disconnect. And you'll say, don't call 1-800-DIVORCE-LAWYER. He'll say, let's spend some time investing into that relationship. But God, that's going to take me away from so much. He'll walk you through authority, not have you abandon it. When God tells you, that's different. That's why I said that a while back, when you're going to find yourself in a church that doesn't agree with the message that's preached. I had one lady call me She said, I'm at a church. I've got a hold of the prayer message. And they don't agree with it. So I'm thinking I need to leave the church. And just stay at home on Sunday. And I said, no. Did God tell you to leave the church? Why don't you stay there and pray at the same time? Unless they're abusing you, unless they're really, even then. I mean, not when I say abuse, you know, we throw that word around a lot. You know, they're abusing me. All they want is my money. You know, again, to me, that's very immature when I hear those words, because I know people who really, really have been abused in churches and by pastors. And most people who use that word should never use that word, because I know people who really have been hurt, and you don't qualify. Most people don't when they use that. And I was trying to advise this lady, stay there and pray and let God give you direction from there. Don't cause trouble. Stay there and pray. And she found another pastor who told her, yeah, you just need to quit and do it. But here's a girl who's immature, who may need that structure to be able to grow enough before she can stand it. You send her out to the walls by herself, she may get eaten up because you have some knowledge. I remember one time at a meeting I had, I was probably 20 at the time, and we had a pastor's meeting every Tuesday. And all the pastors met for about 4 or 5 hours and discussed in a round table their responsibilities in that. And one day there was a conversation with the pastors about a certain man who had come, and this one pastor said, yeah, so-and-so came to me and wanted my advice and my opinion on this subject, and I told him this, and then the next pastor said, oh, that guy came to me too. And the next guy said, well, he came to me, and he came to me. I said, yeah, he came to me too. He went to every pastor with his problem, trying to get someone to tell him what he wanted to hear. And once he got someone to tell him what he wanted to hear, then that gave him authority to do what he wanted to do. And see, when you start looking for outside reasons to justify, the only reason you need to have, God told me. And if you use that a lot to do what you want, then it doesn't have much power. People won't respect it. But when you use that word, God told me, then you can believe it and trust it. When you let him really tell you. Am I preaching okay? There's people in churches who love to draw people to themselves using the problems they have in life, the problems they're having with, yeah, that guy, that pastor, he didn't give me what I wanted either. He's got this motive, he's got that motive. And they're really using the struggle people have with themselves to draw them to themselves. And you don't need to use outside sources. I love Pastor Dave's example, and prophet came up to him, and, you know, God's telling me you need to go to Russia. And Pastor Dave said, okay, you need to come with me. Well, why? Because if I'm going to use your voice to tell me when to go, I need you to come with me to tell me when to come home. There is a walk with God. That's what we're pursuing, where he leads our steps and guides our steps, where he is the author of our life because we've submitted to him. And I don't want us to ever get confused with following God, meaning I abandon my every other authority in my life. There's only one person that has a right to tell you to step out of authority, and that should be God. And when I say God, it also means the Word. Because if you're hungering for him is different than hungering for knowledge, hungering for power, hungering for your calling. Hungering for him is a walk of submission every day. Where, Father, my life belongs to you. My steps belong to you. And here I am. This is where I am. I've heard people tell me lots of stuff. I married this woman when I was young. You know, I was only 18 when I got married. We weren't even saved. So I need to, you know, cut this chain off of me so I can go serve God. Give me some reasons. She doesn't like to go to church. She wants money for me. You know, I have to have a house. If I wasn't married, I can live in a hut. I have to buy things like fruit and vegetables for that woman. You know, I could eat macaroni and cheese out of a box and live my whole life. And I'd probably die young, but I could still do it. And then I got these kids. I mean, braces and sports and want to play with me all the time. I could disconnect and I could spend more time praying. Whenever you hear someone give you, well, hallelujah, thank you, Father. If you ever hear someone talk about following God, and the first reason to follow God is because I can do this. Okay, there's a good chance that they are using God to do what they want. Because the first answer should always be, God told me. And now you can say, God told me to do this, and I can see maybe why. But when you use it like, God told me, so then I get to pray more. When you hear, I'm doing this because then I'll have more time to do this and more time to do that. I'll have more liberty to serve God. See, there's a pride in there that wants to do what you want. Hungering for God is not just after knowledge. I remember when I first listened to Pastor Dave's cassette tapes. I could only listen to one at a time. I mean, like, I wouldn't listen to 15, one every day. I'd have to listen to one, and then I couldn't make myself listen to the other one until I got the first one in my life. And once I felt I had it in my life, I felt comfortable listening to the next one. And I understand, because when you're hungering for Him, it's not about the knowledge. It's about that knowledge helping you to grow and to become who He's made you. As a minister, you can tell when you're preaching. Are you preaching to people who are hungry for Him, or people who are just hungry for knowledge? Because they make you try to submit to them. If you've ever ministered in a crowd, you understand what I mean. Is that if you tell people what they want, they will reward you with amens. With smiles on their face, with wide eyes. They reward you with shouting and hollering. They reward you with money. They reward you with bringing, come, we want you back. When you as a preacher, you find you go to a place, you can actually feel that pull from the people. There's a pull towards tickling their ears and telling them what they want. But when you obey God and love the people, you don't tell them what they want. You tell them what He wants them to hear. And you may not get amens, you may not get invited back, and they may not, probably not get a big paycheck. Because, you know, I remember, I heard preachers tell me, said, you know how we tell how much the people liked the preacher? It's by how much money the offer is in the offering. And at the time, I was getting pretty sad offerings. And because they will, they'll reward you. But when people are hungry just for what they want to hear, See, I like that preacher because I agree with him. But I don't agree with that preacher. Now, if you attend a church, maybe this church, and you select who you listen to, you're missing the point of hungering for God. I am going to, oh, Jesus help me. I'm going to protest because I don't agree with so-and-so. I mean, you're going to have, everyone loves Pastor Dave, so Pastor Dave doesn't count. I've even quit poking fun at Pastor Dave because I make great jokes of Pastor Dave, and every one of you give me the evil eye. When I make it, you don't laugh, so. Because everyone loves Pastor Dave. You know, you can learn something from anybody. Even from their mistakes. And when you start living a life that gives you the luxury to choose, then you're setting yourself up to live your whole life with that luxury. Because not only will you choose which one you listen to, or, there's certain people that you like or will connect better with. I understand that. But when you protest, do you understand how out of order that is? Oh, I'm not preaching about building a church. I'm preaching about you. I'm trying to help you. When you allow yourself that luxury to pick and choose and to not who you invest in, like, I like to listen. This guy's touched me. I want to listen to him. Not that. But when you start removing yourself from an authority, if God put you in this church, you know what my opinion is? He knew exactly what it was like when he sent you here. He didn't put you in here to have a luxury to select. Because you'll find with your flesh will draw you to religion. It will draw you to self-power. It will draw you to arrogance and pride. But if you follow God, it'll always draw you to your cross. Say, I don't have a choice. That's the cross. You don't have a choice. That's walking with God. I don't have the power, the ability. And see, when you learn it in the little things, when you walk it out in the little things. I had one man come to me. He said, this is a very wealthy man. And he said, he went to a traditional church. A very good man, a very wealthy man. And I think he was trying to just kind of win me over a little bit. But he said, you know, my church is building a new building. And I'm paying for most of it. About $3 million. He said, do you think that's God's will? Think that God's pleased with that? And I knew what he was getting to. And I said, I want to tell you. I said, I think your problem is that you think you own that money. And that you have a right to choose what to do with your money. And even give it to the church sounds good. But you have to understand, sir, that's not your money. It belongs to him. What does God want you to do with it is the question. Not what good you can do with it. When you find yourself giving yourself that luxury, the luxury to disconnect from the responsibilities and the authority you find yourself in the name of seeking God or hungering for God, then that's a dangerous luxury to have. Because although you may be able to justify it in the little things, later on in life, when it's the big things, you'll have a hard time not using that luxury. It's like a big red button that says escape. And every time I'm asked or I'm in an area or am demanded something I don't really want to do, I just hit the escape button. Bing. You know, once you use it, bing. It's like, oh, bing, that's nice. That is great. Hallelujah. But it's okay because I want to spend more time seeking God. Bing. Hungering for God is obeying him. Step by step, every day, listening to him. And doing your best. Now, you may make mistakes. Welcome to Mistake Club right here. I've learned more from my mistakes than I have from my victories. But I learn from my mistakes. Because in my mistakes have been trying to hear God and making a mistake. Oh, that wasn't God, that was me. Okay, now I know. Mistakes are not the problem. It's the pride that you live your life with the luxury to protest, to remove yourself. Because always remember, God promotes you for different reasons than man does. Man will promote you. Man will give you things and give you approval if you tell them what they want to hear. They'll give you position in your life. I watch preachers, whole preachers, build a ministry under, I want to preach to you, but there's no cross in my message. There's no demand. There's no conviction. I'll give you what you want. And, you know, success. I remember Pastor Dave, I asked him one time, I was talking about a world-renowned preacher that went from a church of 100 to a church of like 20,000. And Pastor Dave has the power to shock me many times. I was like, man, can you believe what God did with this man? It's amazing. And he wasn't preaching great things. He was just successful. And Pastor Dave said, yeah, if God promoted him, but you know, man could promote you too. And when he said that, it hit me. Like, oh, man could promote you. See, man could promote you, make you successful. And if you are, if you have given yourself the luxury, I'm not talking just to ministers here, but when you give yourself that luxury to justify living how you want because you have more knowledge, the devil will be able to take you down a road that you don't want. Because all he has to do is make you uncomfortable. And you'll go the other way. And I'll tell you something about fulfilling your calling. And you know this because all of you, like me, one day heard a message about praying in tongues. So if you pray in tongues a lot, it'll change you. So all of you like me said, okay, let's do it. And then you found yourself in a fight. You know, and you've all tried to run. And like, well, I'm going to live a normal life. I'm going to go, you know, look at that church down there. They preach nice. And you've had to face those things. And we all started down this road of where do we end? Where's revival? Where's my blessings? Where's my calling? But see, when you follow God, he's not just interested in what you can do for him. When you follow God, he treats you like a child. And he's preparing us with maturity. Inside of you already is this incredible you that he made. And the transformation to live out of that person instead of out of your flesh. Your flesh will hide itself under religion and hide itself under spirituality. Your flesh will sneak in there and tell you whatever you want to hear. Just don't let yourself go to a cross where you don't have the power for your future. You don't have the power to make your dreams come true. You don't have the power for blessings. You don't have the power for your calling. You don't even have the power to take the next step because you've given it to him. Your flesh wants to come alongside of God and say, me and God, we're partners. Let's go. Where are we going next, God? Let's go. That's what your flesh wants. And it will pay you off with peace. And it will find people to lift you. You're right. Oh, yes. I knew that. That's right. And you will find yourself, well, you don't want to find yourself on that path. Because once you do, once you empower your flesh to have a voice in your life, here he is working on us all these years to get you to shut that voice down, to prove to it it won't ever win. It's like my son. I have to prove to him every day you won't win. I had a showdown in Brazil because the Brazilian food is different. Okay, it's not like American food. It's actually much better, but it's different. It's like the ketchup's different, the mustard's different, the orange juice is different, the milk is different. And so Harrison's a very picky eater. And so he's so picky, he'll starve rather than eat. And I've had showdowns with him. Like, okay, you're going to eat your rice, and you're going to pick a protein, beans or that fry, that chicken, that grilled chicken. And I better see something green or red on your plate, a vegetable. And he's like, no. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is in front of people. I'm like, just yawn. And he knows he's got me when I'm in front of people. You know, no. You just yawn. Let me tell you something a little bit. You know, you're talking outside your mouth. But they know they got you, you know. You're going to eat that chicken. Well, I'll eat this little bit. No, you're going to eat all of it now. You do. And we're arguing. And finally, I mean, everyone left the table. And we sat there for an hour. I had to prove to him, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. He's like, oh, I'll win. That was his attitude. I'll win. I'll wear you out. I said, you're not going to win. We sat there for an hour. And then all of a sudden he said, okay. I was like, victory. But it didn't last long because the next day was the same fight, you know. But see, it's like your flesh. Your flesh won't stop fighting you. It will not stop negotiating with you. Okay, I'll just do a little bit. It will try to walk alongside of what God's told you to do so it can guide you, because your flesh will serve God and give its all its time to God, but it will not come to the cross, because the cross means death to your flesh. And that's why all religion is built around that one little point where your flesh has the right to live, your will has the right to live, and you serve God at the same time. But God will never allow that. He wants you not just to be hungry for truth, hungry for power, hungry for your calling, or hungry for revival. He wants us hungry to follow Him. Amen. And face our cross every day. And it may be a fight every day. Have you noticed that? It's because your flesh is like a kid. It wants its way. It wants its way. And if I gave my son his way, every meal, you know what would be crazy? What do you want? What can I give you to shut up? What can I give you just to make us agree? Well, all you need to give me is what I want. God loves you more than that. He's not after what you can do for Him. He's after helping you become like Him, to walk in that authority. He's after us to accept and grow towards what He's made us already. And that may take years. Have you noticed? You have to prove to your flesh it never wins. Not when revival hits. Not just when you're in your calling. When I have $1 million, then I'll give 90% of it to the gospel. Great. What are you doing with the 10 bucks in your pocket right now? Well, I can't give any of that. Don't wait until then. He'll help you now. Because when you do it in the little things, He'll trust you with the big things. You don't need to change anything. You don't need to fix anything. Let Him do that for you. Just get yourself in the prayer closet. Be faithful to what's in front of you. I learned because I didn't run from my responsibilities. And a lot of the responsibilities were wrong. They were false. But I didn't know how they got in my life. So how would I have? Why would I want to give myself power to remove them from my life? Sorry, baby, I married the wrong woman. Two kids. I really just wanted one. You know. However, it doesn't matter if you made your own mess. If you made all kinds of 1,000 wrong decisions and find yourself full of debt, He'll help walk you out of it. He find you wherever you find Him, He'll walk you out of it. But when you start giving yourself the power to disconnect because you don't agree, because you know better, because you have better revelation, because you pray more, because you do more, because you've given more, there is a pride in there that gives yourself your flesh the luxury to tell you what to do. Sometimes you have to sit and make your flesh squirm and just say, just smile. And pretend you like it. Someone is mean to you in church, and now you have the right to prove them, to act different around them. You have to take your flesh and say, we're going to go over there, and we're going to give them a hug, and then you're going to buy them lunch. Say, sister, I want you to know I love you. And they'll say, well, I don't love you. And I wanted to buy you lunch. Because you're not giving your flesh the power to tell you how to feel, how to act, and what to do. When I left my one position, I'd been youth pastor for 3 years, and I was the least qualified guy because it was a big church, so the youth pastor position came with a paycheck. You got a church full of people who want paychecks to serve God, you know, and you're the least qualified guy. I mean, I was dysfunctional. I wasn't raised in church. Thank God for a pastor who saw the calling on me, because if you looked at anything else, it would have been thrown in the pile. And for 3 years I youth pastored. And I remember I had an associate youth pastor and other men who were always trying to take over. And when God gives you something, you don't have to fight for it. You don't have to defend it either. And I remember when I left, I had my office in this church. And the office was mine. I had my own office. I had my stuff in there. Of course, I was 21, so my desk was full of junk, because I wasn't organized, so I had all my desk full. And so part of me leaving when I resigned and just felt God wanted me to go to Tennessee, part of me leaving, I wanted to be able to clean up my stuff. There's a part where you disconnect, and especially with me, I have a thing about me where I you want to ceremonially do things. Like I wanted to clean up my office and say goodbye to everyone, and it was like that's what was in my heart. That's how I went for a week. I think a weekend somewhere. I came back, and the two guys who were fighting for the job of youth pastor moved in and cleaned all my stuff and put it in boxes. And I was so broken. It broke me. It hurt me. And I was embarrassed because I don't know what junk was in my, I don't want people to know I was unorganized. And I remember I was 22 years old. And the one guy who really wanted my old associate wanted that position. Before I left, I took all my money and bought him a new suit. Because if I didn't, I would be resentful. I had to face it, And, there's things you have to tell your flesh to shut up. You not give it the right to tell you how to feel. Because once you start agreeing with it, you can get as religious as you may not know you're religious, but you're religious. That guy lasted 2 months as youth pastor and then he quit. Sometimes you fight for things you think you want or you think you deserve. When you obey God, you don't have to fight for anything. You don't have to fight to get it. And you don't have to fight to keep it. And if you find yourself fighting to get something or fighting to keep it, that's arrogance. Because you think somebody else holds the power to give you things. That's why complaining is pride. But when you follow Him, you give up your rights. Lord, I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. And I'm not going to do what you haven't told me to do. And if you want me in my calling, you're the only one who can put me there. And if I'm not in my calling, it's because you don't want me there. I'm not ready yet. Okay. I don't need to walk in power or walk in knowledge or let people know I have knowledge, because you're the only one that matters. You give up your power and live in His hands. And if you're faithful, you keep praying in tongues and keep facing the things He told you to when He tells you to do it, it's impossible for Him not to promote you. And even if you have 10 mighty men with power stand in front of you and say, "You will not come here," they have no power to stop them. I've had people do that to me. And God always will give you what He wants to give you. It's impossible for man to stop it. Well, I had hoped to teach something spectacular today. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Help us, each of us, to hear your voice, to obey you, to trust you with our life. Help us, Father. I'll say this is what I hear right now. That the Lord is saying to us, the Lord is saying to some of you, you may feel like you're a young sheep. You may feel like you don't have the wisdom or knowledge to navigate through all the turmoil that you're facing. But the Lord is saying to you that if you humble yourself, that's all that you need. Just humble yourself and trust in to hear my voice, and you will be safe through any attack that you go through. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we humble ourselves today. And we ask you to help us every step of the way. We desire you. We don't just hunger for knowledge or for power or for revival. We hunger for you. And we submit everything about us to you. And those of us who are in circumstances we may not like or may not know how to get out of, you know how. And so we trust you with our steps. In Jesus' name, amen.